If you have the means and you want to make a wedding, well, you get the best hall, the best music presentation, singers, flowers, everything that you can to make it an incredible evening. When God wanted to give the Torah, where did he give the Torah? This week's parasha, Bamidbar, opens the fourth book of the Torah. We've had the Bereshit, we've had Shemot, we've had Vayikra, now Bamidbar. Bamidbar means in the wilderness. The Torah was given in the wilderness of Sinai, and every year before the giving of the Torah on Shavuot, we read this parasha Bamidbar. What is in the parasha? Where do we see the number 18? Is there a significance to the Amida that is read? How did the Jews encamp in this wilderness, and why was the Torah given in the Midbar? Let's take a deeper look. The Midbar, the wilderness, was a barren place. The Jews had left Egypt, and they were in this vast wilderness before they would enter the land of Israel. And God Almighty decided to give the Torah in the wilderness because just like the wilderness is ownerless, everybody has got a portion in the wilderness. Nobody can say, this is my part of the desert, and that's my part of the desert. So too, God Almighty wanted us to know that the entire Torah is accessible. Nobody can claim ownership to the Torah by themselves. The entire Torah is accessible. No matter what kind of wisdom that you have, intelligence you have, the Torah is open for all. Another reason is when you are surrounded by desert and no distractions, that is the best time in which you can learn Torah. And we learned in Parshat Bechukotai, it tells us in Bechukotai, Teilechu, a person should go, should walk in God's statutes. What does it mean to walk? Our rabbis tell us, get out of the house. Go to a place where you can actually learn Torah, i.e. the synagogue, the Beit HaMidrash. Go and learn over there and seclude yourself. A midbar is a place where you don't have the distraction. That's the best place to learn Torah. Having said that, as Jews, we don't go to a wilderness to learn Torah. We don't go to the Himalayas. We go to the Beit HaMidrash, surrounded by other Jews, where we can knock off ideas and we can learn Bechavruta one-on-ones and we can gain God's wisdom. What is the parasha talking about, Bamidbar? Well, 1 year and 2 weeks after Yitziat Mitzrayim, the coming out of Egypt, on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the first of Iyar, God tells Moshe to count the Jewish people. Specifically, the men aged 20 to 60. Every single Shevet, every tribe was counted at this moment, apart from the tribe of Levi. And we will see in a moment why. Each tribe is counted separately. And this is how the count is done. Each Jewish man would come before Moshe and Aharon and the prince of his tribe and give them half a shekel coin. The final count of all the coins would determine how many men there were between the age of 20 and 60. And the final count was, yes, you got it, 603,550. That's over 500,000 Jews between the age of 20 and 60. That's 603,550. Remember it. Ask around. At this counting, we know exactly how many Jews there were 1 year and 2 weeks after Yitziat Mitzrayim, out of coming out of Egypt. This incredible piece of information. Now, why was it between the age of 20 and 60? Because the Jewish people were determined to go to the land of Israel. And these were the people, these were the men that were going to serve in the army. And these were the people that were going to go and inherit the land of Israel. Why was it important to come in front of Moshe and Aharon? In fact, this command, Vaydaber, God speaks to Moshe and Aharon about this counting. Normally you find God speaking just to Moshe, but here God is speaking to Moshe and Aharon, and there are 18 times in the Torah where God speaks to Moshe and Aharon, and this is one of them. 18, as we know, is linked to the 18 blessings that we say in the Amidah, the Shemona Esrei, the quiet part of our prayer, the highest part of a Jew's prayer is the Amidah. There are 18 different blessings. In fact, nowadays there are 19 because the rabbis added a further blessing later on. And 18 is connected to the 18 times that God spoke to both Moshe and Aharon. Other reasons are also given to the number 18. If you note, there is another reason, because God's name appears in the Shema 18 times. 18, as we know, is Chai. It represents life. And our real life is when we pray and when we connect to God Almighty. And God was speaking to Moshe and Aaron 18 times. And this is one of the 18 times because it represented the Achdut, the unity of Am Yisrael. God tells Moshe in what order the tribes should camp in the desert. He also tells Moshe what flag each tribe should have. There are 12 tribes and they are going to be surrounding the Mishkan, the temple. It was an incredible sight. You had three tribes to the north, three tribes to the east, west, and south. And in the center, you had God's temple. Surrounding God's temple, the Mishkan, you had the three sons of Levi, who is represented by his sons Gershon, Kahat, and Merari on three different sides. And on the fourth side, you had Moshe and Aharon. God also tells the tribes in what order they would travel. We know that when the Jewish people were in the wilderness, there was a cloud that was leading them the direction. When the cloud would stay put, the Jewish people would set up camp. And when the cloud would move and start to move, there'd be a shofar being blown, everybody get ready, and they'd have to be on the move. That was if they, in the daytime. In the nighttime, there was a pillar of fire that was leading them the way. In which order did they walk? Well, that will be explained in Parshat Behalotcha Bezod Hashem. But the Levim are appointed to work in the Mishkan, and their responsibilities include singing and guarding the Mishkan. They also take apart the Mishkan, the temple, and carry it when the nation is traveling in the desert. And the families of the Levim were Gershon, Kahat, and Merari, and they are told which parts of the Mishkan each family will carry. The family of Gershon will live behind the Mishkan on the west side. On the south side is the family of Kahat, and on the north, the family of Merari. Moshe and Aaron and his sons will be in the front of the Mishkan on the east side. Now, the Levim were not counted with the rest of the tribes. And when God didn't tell Moshe to count them, Moshe was surprised. And God explained to Moshe that it was because the Levim were special. They would be counted separately and with different ages. Why? Because not a single Levi sinned with the Egel HaZahav, with the golden calf at Har Sinai. As a reward for their extraordinary loyalty, they were to become a special class with great responsibility. They were going to teach the Jews Torah and guard the Mishkan. They would also sing during the Mishkan services because they were always loyal to God. None of them were punished to die in the desert. When the Jews traveled, the Levim would take apart the Mishkan and carry its sections throughout the desert. When the Jews stopped and made camp, the Levim put it together again. Only the Levim were allowed to do that. And God warned that anyone else who tried to take part of building or apart the Mishkan would be punished with death. The firstborn of all the tribes were supposed to do these jobs. But because of their part in the sin of the golden calf, only the Levim, who were not involved in the golden calf, could do them. There was an exchange between the Levim and the firstborn. All Levites from the age of 1 month and up needed to be counted. Moshe told God, "The Levim will not let me enter their homes to check how many babies there are." God said to Moshe, "You do your job and I will do my job." Hashem meant that he would make sure Moshe would be able to count them. When Moshe came to the first tent, a miracle happened. He heard God's voice calling out exactly how many babies there were in the tent. Now, Moshe understood. He went from tent to tent. At each tent, a voice told him how many babies there were. How many was the count of the Levites? Adding up all the numbers of each family, we get 22,300 Levim. Now, is that a lot? No. The other Shevatim were more than double, even though we've counted from the age of 30 days old with the Levites. Why were the Levim so little? The other Jews had a special blessing of many children. Why? Because they had suffered under the Egyptian rule. The tribe of Levi did not suffer as much. In fact, they had a special process with Paro being known as the priests of the Jews and being known as a special sect, so to speak. They got certain honors. Because they afforded themselves certain honors, they were not oppressed. And because they were not oppressed so much, they didn't have so many children, and the Shevet, their tribe, was not as many as the others. Sometimes in life we think, oh, we're getting oppressed and we're losing out, but sometimes the oppression actually leads us to greater things down the line. As we mentioned, really, the original status of a priest was actually given to the firstborn. You see, when God destroyed and killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians on the night of Seder night, he took all the Jewish firstborns as his own. And because of that, all Jewish firstborns became holy to Hashem. But because then, after they left Egypt, they participated in the golden calf, they lost that responsibility. And the Levites, who stood up at the time of the golden calf in loyalty to God, they took it over. They are commanded to count all the firstborn males from all the Shvatim, and they're going to exchange the firstborn male. Each firstborn male would exchange for a Levite. But the final count came up to 22,273. And although we said that the final count of the Levites was 22,300, 300 of these Levim were in actual fact firstborn. So we had 273 more firstborn than Levites. So how did they exchange? These 273 would pay 5 shekalim and they would redeem themselves. But which 273 firstborn would pay the 5 shekalim? Whoever Moshe would ask for money would say, why should I pay? Let someone else pay. Moshe made a lottery. He wrote on 22,000 tickets the words Ben Levi, and on 273 tickets the words 5 shekalim. He mixed them all together and every firstborn picked a ticket. If he picked a ticket on which Ben Levi was written, his place was taken by Levi. But if he picked a ticket that was said 5 shekalim, then he had to pay. Wow. Look what Moshe Rabbeinu did in order to ensure no machloket, in order to ensure no argument. He went out of his way. Imagine writing and doing it, but in order to ensure that everything runs smoothly, he went and he did that. Now Hashem told Moshe to count the Levim again. This time though, he should count only those from the age of 30 to 50. Why? These are the Levim who would carry the Mishkan when the tribes traveled. The Torah tells us how they would carry all the artifacts when they would leave, and finishes the parasha by telling us that the family of Kahat, who was one of three sons of Levi, will carry the Aron, the menorah, the shulchan, and both mizbechot. How beautiful it was to see the encampment of the Jewish people in the desert. Matovu alecha Yaakov, mishkenotecha Yisrael. And how beautiful it was to see the structure of people moving towards the land of Israel.